Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mehler here. And, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that most people here in the state are impacted by deer in one way or another. Maybe you hunt them. Maybe you enjoy seeing them. Maybe they're eating up your bushes in your garden. There's a lot of research going on right now with deer here in the state. And one of the research projects has to do with deer mortality rates and what causes mortality among our deer. And Scott Craven, back with us once again, Emeritus UW Extension Wildlife Ecologist. He stops by every other month to talk about the great outdoors. So we'll certainly be talking with him in just a matter of a minute or two. But first, I want to remind you, in case you may have forgotten, that we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Joining me today, Cheryl Gasser, Director of the Ideas Network. Cheryl, thank you.
Oh, Larry, it is a pleasure. Love pledge drives, love your show, love our listeners.
Well, I tell you what, Cheryl's here to help me tell you about why your gift is so important right now. That's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your gift keeps this program and all the programs you enjoy going very strong. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Cheryl, how are we doing with the drive?
Doing great, Larry. Overall, the drive's going strong thanks to our incredible listeners. And last hour, a great hour, we heard from 21 new and returning members. So thank
Excellent.
You so much for each and every one of those gifts. And right now, such a great time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $4,000. Now, this generous match is from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Stan and Shirley Inhorn. And it means that they will match every dollar you give this hour.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So, hey, here's your chance to double your support for the programs you love. If you give right now, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You might have asked yourself, you know, what exactly is public radio? What does public radio mean? Well, public radio for us means listener-supported radio.
And while we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs. Your contribution, any amount, really does matter. So please go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Any amount matters, and don't forget any amount this hour is doubled thanks to that generous dollar-for-dollar match. Now, we know that many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment because you think WPR is a resource that should be available to all, and because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or 10, it's time to put something back in.
So you can make a donation for yourself and also for the rest of the people in your community. And the amount you give is really up to you. The important thing is that you participate. So make your first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have five chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. So what would you buy with an extra $500?
I would buy buckets of olives, green, Kalamata, those two.
I need a lot of gluten-free items. I would love that. That would fatten me up in no time.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mehler here with Cheryl Gasser. And we're here to tell you that listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. That's why your support during the spring membership drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it will be doubled this hour during our dollar-for-dollar match. Now, we know that you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is quick. It takes just a few minutes. You tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Yeah, it's quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Up
is
to $4,000 this hour. It's an incredible gift from current members of Wisconsin Public Radio. They are here to match your gift this hour. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. That's pretty
cool. Nice.
Yeah, you'll have the 5 chances to win, actually. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And if you are not a sustainer, this would be a great time to become one. It's easy to set up. You make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. I'm a sustainer, Larry. I think you are as well. Mm-hmm. It's so easy just knowing that your support of WPR is as active as your listening. So make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and get that pledge doubled.
And thanks already. If you've already pledged, if you haven't, do it right now. Well, you're listening to Scott Craven. Scott Craven with us by phone today, and we have a lot of good things to talk about with him. Well, some not so good, but as we talk about the deer situation and deer mortality and so forth. But certainly as we visit with him, you may have some observations of your own or questions for Scott as we move along, and I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Scott Craven, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hello, Larry. A pleasure to be on, as always.
Yeah, I know. I know you're just back from Yellowstone, and I'm really eager to talk with you about that. But first, I wanted to talk with you about some of the latest research on the causes of death in Wisconsin deer. What can you tell us about that study?
Well, the so-called Southwestern Wisconsin Deer Study has been, we're several years into that now, so I think the planned completion date is still a year or two away. So the results are still somewhat preliminary, but they're releasing them and doing a very good job of communicating periodically through the DNR newsletters and other sources in terms of getting information out to the public. In any event, up to this point, and there's a companion study further north, under a little different conditions of habitat, weather, and predator complex, and so forth. But for the Southwest, in this last bit of information released, they tracked 160 of their deer that had collars on, or radio collars, that had died, and reported on what claimed those animals. And far and away, as has always been known and anticipated, it was hunter harvest, which exceeded the other forms of mortality by about fourfold. But the other forms of mortality, that being coyote predation, starvation, car vehicle or car deer collisions, and pneumonia, were all about equal, but again, only represented about 25% of the deaths that hunting mortality caused. And they were further compounded by the fact that with the coyote category, for example, it can sometimes be very difficult to figure out whether the coyotes came along and scavenged on the carcass after it died from another cause. And the starvation and pneumonia are probably traced back more to an animal that was infected with chronic wasting disease and then ultimately died from apparent starvation or pneumonia, but was debilitated by the chronic wasting disease. And that could have actually, in the Southwest, where infection rates are becoming quite high in some sex and age cohorts, could have affected some deer being more susceptible to car vehicle collisions as they were debilitated, or even in some cases to hunter harvest. So
there's a lot of, there could be two or three things at work, as you're indicating here.
Yes, that would two or three things at work, and things will change given the year in question. For example, this year, with the high snowfall we've had and layers of ice in between the layers of snow, Even in our agricultural area where deer are usually not pressed for food, they may be a bit more stressed this year than usual, and that may carry over to some other species as well. Now, the Northwoods, and that study, they're in for a potentially a tough year. The winter severity index is creeping up very quickly. They've got incredibly deep snow, bitter cold weather. The deer and the turkeys are likely to have a tough time in the Northwoods.
Yeah, and a lot of time that mortality comes almost right about the time spring comes. You think, oh, they're through it now, but that's when we see a lot of death. I mean, they can't make it anymore.
Right, they just essentially run out of gas and don't have time to make it through to good conditions and green up. And realistically, there's not much left on the landscape, even when the snow finally disperses, until things begin to green up. And that's the time many of these animals succumb. It was same situation that we just heard about from the biologists in Yellowstone, where they also have very deep snow and bitter cold, and are expecting the potential for some serious winter mortality for their larger animals.
Oh, how was your Yellowstone trip?
It was fantastic. It was a great trip, Larry. Yellowstone is a beautiful place in winter. I, like many of the other folks on the trip, wondered about the wisdom of traveling from Wisconsin in the winter to a place that probably has a worse winter than Wisconsin. But the scenery was spectacular. Every time you go around a corner, it's like looking at a postcard. The animal life was impressive. And the ability to move about the park with relatively few people was really exciting. And I need to offer up a little shout out to the people I was traveling with, the folks who went on this tour. It was just a great group of people. Everybody bonded well and shared some common interests in what was going on in the park, and we really had a good time. So hopefully all my colleagues on the trip got home safely and are unwinding from that expedition. There were a couple of things that stood out for me. I was particularly impressed by the forest regeneration after the famous fires of 1988, when about a third of the park burned and there was a lot of hand-wringing that the park was destroyed. It certainly was not. And those primarily lodgepole pine stands that were burned, although there is still a few dead sticks essentially standing up to indicate that the fire went through, the understory now is just an absolute blanket of young lodgepole pines, anywhere from 5 or 10 to 20 or 25 or 30 feet tall. And they're so thick, almost like carpet fibers, that, I mean, you know, a lot of them won't survive. But the point being that the new forest is in place and looking pretty good. The other thing that struck me was the huge expanses of pristine snow, just undulating blankets of 4 or 5 feet of powder snow without a mark on them. You know, around here, you see snowmobile trails and animal trails and a variety of other activities soon after snow falls, but there was not a blemish on that landscape. And, of course, seeing all the bison and elk and bighorn sheep and other things try to make it through those conditions was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it had to have been. It's a whole different experience being there this time of the year versus July.
Well, it certainly was, but again, the bigger issue was relatively few people.
That's why. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
go ahead, Scott.
I was able to stand on the boardwalk at Old Faithful last Friday morning, and I knew I was on the park webcam, so the family was watching me walk around Old Faithful on the webcam. But as I looked around, I realized, holy cow, I am the only person here on the area around Old Faithful to watch that eruption. No other human being in sight. And that was kind of neat in a big park like Yellowstone. And I guess I urge all our Wisconsin residents or anyone else listening, if you ever get a chance to take one of the snow coach trips or a guided snowmobile tour from West Yellowstone or something into the park, even for just a day, it's certainly worth doing. It's a very different perspective from visiting in the summer when there are hordes of tourists everywhere you look. So
Scott Craven, our guest today, UW Extension wildlife ecologist, as he talked with us about his trip to Yellowstone and Old Faithful. Cheryl Gasser, who directs the Ideas Network, sometimes calls me Old Faithful. You know, I'm here every day, and I try to be here 5 days a week. And she's faithful as she's faithful. She's not old, but she's faithful in coming in to talk with me when we have our Spring Radio WPR membership drive.
And spring.
It's spring.
Spring, Larry.
It is almost spring.
Almost.
You can count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that really makes these conversations possible. It's the single largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
Larry, just hearing you say the word spring gives me hope.
Oh boy.
I love the four seasons in Wisconsin, including winter, but this has been a rough one. So looking forward to spring. And we know that you value Wisconsin Public Radio. You love the Larry Mueller Show. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. So it is a great time to give. It's from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Stan and Shirley Inhorn. Thank you so much, Shirley and Stan. That means your gift of $50 is like giving $100. And if you're giving $500, it's like giving $1,000. So take advantage of this dollar-for-dollar match and double your support of WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the Ideas Network is really all about connections. You connect with communities and get information from around Wisconsin. You learn from guests and other listeners from near and far, actually.
And from our hosts like you, Larry. And these connections can happen because members step up and fund them. The Ideas Network is listener-supported radio. We couldn't do it without you. Where you come in, this is where you come in, from conversations like we're having right now about wildlife to gardening coming up on Friday, or health or food or travel. The list goes on and on. You make the Larry Mueller Show possible. So please give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and get that pledge doubled.
Get it doubled right now. And it's easy to get it doubled. As a matter of fact, it's easy to support WPR. And the easiest way is to become a sustainer, actually. A sustaining membership is one that's ongoing, either from your bank account or your credit or your debit card.
Because it automatically renews, you don't have to remember, is it time to write that check every year? Some people give $10 a month, others give $15 or $20. Whatever you give this hour will be double, but the idea is that pick an amount that is right for you. Set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then you can sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting great radio.
The WPR t-shirt has become an annual tradition. Each one is unique and is only available for a limited time. Don't miss the 2019 t-shirt offered this drive. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
It's got a cityscape on it. It's got a rural landscape with a WPR tower in the back. And of course, it's got some of our north woods with a cabin. And it symbolizes the fact that WPR is everywhere in Wisconsin.
It kind of looks Art Deco style to me.
I feel like this is Wisconsin in one design.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support during this spring membership drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And in your gift, I don't care, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And whatever the amount, it will be doubled this hour up to $4,000 because that dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. We still have plenty of money on the table. It's a great time to donate because 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Shirley and Stan Inhorn, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now. Become a new member, renew your membership, or maybe make an additional gift. Either way, any way you do it, it will be doubled.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
And you'll have a great feeling of supporting the programs you love, like The Larry Mueller Show. See what that's like right now. Get your pledge doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Cheryl, I am looking at our screens, and I see that we still have $3,500 left that can be...
Doubled and matched.
So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And hey, here's an idea. You can support the programs you love and value, get your pledge doubled, and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2019 WPR t-shirt. It really is a unique design, and the colors are really creative. It's USA made. It shows how WPR is everywhere you are, whether that's in town, at home, in the great outdoors. Give $10 a month or more, get it doubled, get that t-shirt, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is so important right now. Please go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution while you listen to Scott Craven and I talk. And hear from our other listeners who have questions. Maybe you have a question for Scott as we take a look at the world of wildlife with him. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Really would love to hear from you. And let's take a call. Dave and Hebron, it's your turn. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Just wondered if Scott had any idea of what to do about these little red squirrels. I assume they're pine squirrels. Do they do damage to homes if they're well fed? They're very cute to watch, but if they damage the home, I can't have them around.
All right, so we've got some probably pine squirrels, little red squirrels, Scott, that may be doing some damage to Dave's home. Do they do a lot of damage in homes, and how do you control them if they do, or do you even need to try? That's the better question, maybe.
There are several questions there, Larry, but they all come down to the fact that feeding mammals in general around bird feeders in the winter, or specifically feeding mammals, can certainly lead to a variety of problems. And with squirrels, whether they're red squirrels, gray squirrels, flying squirrels, or what have you, if they're given the opportunity to get into the home, into the attic, through a soffit vent or a rotten fascia board or whatever their access might be, once they get into the home, they have the potential to do a considerable amount of damage by disrupting the insulation, chewing the insulation off electrical cables, and chewing in general, so that, you know, they are rodents without the bushy tail. They've got the same basic skeletal structure and dentition as a rat. So, yes, there's some potential for damage. On the other hand, they can be attractive additions around the feeding station. I've got 6 gray squirrels currently at my feeders, largely because of my wife's fondness of the squirrels, so I don't do anything about them. But nevertheless, the squirrels are there, and you know, they've got to eat, too, during these tough winter days. So I'm willing to tolerate that, but I make darn sure, to the extent that I can, that there are no obvious access points where they can, you know, get into the sill plate of the house or anywhere else and cause that damage. And if they're actually damaging the feeders or anything like that, there are feeders you can get that are metal feeding ports rather than plastic and that kind of thing, and put an end to it. So the short answer to the question is, if the squirrels are minding their own business and simply out there providing some entertaining gymnastics at the feeders, fine, you can leave them alone. But if you start to suspect or hear them in the walls or in the ceiling void or attic or whatever, then it's time to make sure that you structurally reinforce the house so that they get them out, and then make sure they can't get back in. If they're outside this time of year, not a big issue.
Scott Craven, our guest today, UW Emeritus Professor in the Department of Wildlife Ecology. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Dave Potratz, our engineer on the Ideas Network. Scott Craven, our guest, and if you have a question for Scott or maybe an experience to share as we take a look at the world of wildlife, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Scott, we got an email from Gary. On Christmas Day, he and his wife saw an adult bobcat with two all-black kittens following along behind her. Approximately 30 pounds in weight, Gary understands that a healthy bobcat can give birth a second time, and kittens are born in September. Are black bobcats rare?
Well, that's a pretty unusual sighting, and as far as the rarity, I can't give you percentage or statistics, but it's certainly the first time I've heard of that color phase. A lot of common animals can be born with pigment variations of all types. I mean, squirrels are the best example. We've talked about them many times with all the different color phases, but same thing with bears and a few other things. I assume it's certainly not, obviously, if they were seen, impossible to have black kittens. Whether they will come along as they age and shed and grow and so forth, come back to a more normal bobcat pelage or fur color, that I don't know. But certainly the black, or what would usually be referred to as a melanistic color phase, can happen with a lot of animals, and it appears in this case it happened with bobcats, and that's about all. It's an interesting curiosity. I hope they got a picture of it, but it's not something I've heard of or certainly seen personally.
Yeah, I'd love to see you. I hope they did. If you got a photo, Gary, please email it to us at ideas@wpr.org/Larry. If you go there, you can find a spot to email. We'd love to see a photo of it. Let's go to Mark in Little Swamigo. Mark, thank you for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
A friend of mine from the Buffalo County area sent me a link, and it was like a forum that was coming from the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it went on to say that there was a gentleman in like a public address that they had come up with a cure, or what they think is a cure, for chronic wasting disease. And the implications went even further, that it was going to have some impacts on Alzheimer's, dementia, that what they thought was chronic wasting disease was was found to be more of like a bacteria or something that they could control and cure. But I have not heard anything since.
Thanks.
I could actually send you the link or send you what I have, and you guys could take a look at it.
Definitely. Please do that. Scott, are you familiar with this work?
Yes. There's a researcher at Louisiana State came up with this theory and blamed a particular type of bacterium that actually was the root cause of chronic wasting disease, and that the prions were simply a byproduct of the bacterial infection. And this group from Pennsylvania called the United Sportsmen of Pennsylvania have unleashed quite a video link and email storm around the country, claiming that a cure is soon to follow. And as the caller, as Mark just indicated, there's a possibility that they could cure all human prion diseases in 10 years and test to cure ALS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, which is the human equivalent of CWD, and a variety of other claims. However, the general scientific and medical community is still certainly aligned with the prevailing theory that this is a prion disease, and I guess this falls under the category of time will tell. If this individual at LSU is single-handedly that far out ahead of the pack in the medical and CWD community, it would be a miracle.
Yeah.
this may be a bit of a stretch. Bottom line is, a lot of this was outlined in the recent issue of Outdoor News, Wisconsin Outdoor News, the newspaper format, biweekly bulletin, and columnist and outdoor writer Pat Durkin had a very well-structured column on this whole issue. And if somebody wants the details and find the link and all that kind of thing, then you can get that out of Pat's column in the recent Outdoor News. You see something like that, you think, oh my gosh, it is a miracle. This is fantastic, but it's
yet to be proven.
I think it's yet to be proven. The timetable is incredibly optimistic, and it's a tremendous leap of faith from the party line that we've been working under for the last, here in Wisconsin, 16, 17 years since CWD was developed. So it's great to get excited about this kind of thing, but over the 16 or 17 years we've dealt with it, but there have been all kinds of exciting proposed developments, and really nothing's panned out, so that as a result, we're still, you know, kind of waiting for someone to provide some light on the path to dealing with this disease. There was also some recent publicity about the fact that there was no CWD plan released in the governor's new budget, that there was no money for CWD work, and all of that seems to be pending, again, some sort of concise report and path of action from the DNR or anybody else that can give it to us. So in the meantime, what Mark described is out there on the internet, but
you got to wait to see what happens.
Yeah. And this kind of thing, as they say, there's no free lunch, and for me this falls into that category.
Scott Craven, our guest, Extension Wildlife Ecologist, Emeritus Professor of Wildlife Ecology in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison, our guest. And great to see Cheryl Gasser back in the studio with me. She's here to talk about our spring membership drive at WPR. And listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding we have here at WPR, and it's your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So I hope you will take time right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match, Larry, still in effect right now. $1,500 still on the table. This generous gift from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Stan and Shirley Inhorn. And that means if you give $50 for the year, it's like giving $100. If you give $100 a month, it's like giving $200 a month. So take advantage of this match and double the support that you give to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I always enjoy visiting with Scott Craven. He and I have been, we've been friends off the program too, but we've been friends and he's been a guest on the program for, 25 years maybe? And he has done a wonderful job over that time, I think, talking about the wildlife issues of the day, answering your questions, everything from CWD to what should I do about the bats in my attic. Mm-hmm. So some practical advice and some research-based advice, and he does a great job of that. And he does it, and he's able to do it, because we're listener-supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org or when you phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour with Scott and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and then make your gift.
And that gift will be doubled this hour. We still have $1,500 on the table. And Larry, I hear you talking about Scott as a friend, and I feel like as a listener to your show, you're a friend. Scott's a friend. Sandy Sawchuk's a friend. It's such a great community. And even if you've never met Larry, never had the privilege, never met Scott, you feel like you know them because they are your radio family. And that's what we're here to ask you to support with your pledge. Get that pledge doubled, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's part of your daily routine. It's your daily news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today and every day. Start with a dollar a day. That'd be great. That's, let's say, 30 bucks a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
We've seen a recent increase in our childcare costs as my daughter is currently going to a preschool.
Yes, my newspaper subscription just went up.
If you've looked at my electric bill lately, it has gone up substantially.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. In support of the programs you rely on, Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio's all of our programs, as a matter of fact, keep them going strong when you support us. So whether your contribution is $10 a month or $20 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate it and we count on your gift.
And not only that, Larry, but your pledge will be doubled this hour because we still have $1,000 on the table for that dollar-for-dollar match, and we want to make sure to take advantage of that generous gift. And we know that you support the things that make your life more meaningful. And Wisconsin Public Radio, well, it is one of those things for sure, because here you get information about events in our region and the world, and you also get music, humor, storytelling, and great conversation.
You'll want a lot of news and information in the coming year, and your support now will make that all possible, as a matter of fact. So make a difference right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. Make your gift.
And the dollar-for-dollar match still in effect, Larry.
It is.
Taking a look at the screen, about
700, 800, 750, 800,
somewhere in between there. There's still room for your gift to be matched. That's the point. We ask that you give now at whatever amount is right for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your pledge will be doubled.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great. You'll have five chances to win. So if you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you're entered. And, you know, if you're a sustainer, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, hey, become one right now. Get your pledge doubled. Set up those easy, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You're always in control. You make that pledge. Become a member. Become a sustainer. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Taking a look at the world of wildlife with Scott Craven today. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining in. We're going to go right to the phones and see what we can get from Rod in Arlington. Rod, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. A couple of days ago, I was pulling some blinds down at the house and noticed a blue jay laying on the ground. It was upright, sitting upright. Head was bobbing a little back and forth. And I thought, wow, that was kind of strange. It wasn't near any trees or that close to the house. And turned away to do something for a minute and came back, and it was face down in the snow, and it had died. And I'm wondering, I know like in the summertime they like to check out when you see something die, which doesn't seem normal. They like to check them out to see if possibly Would West Nile or anything like that affect them this late in the season, since we haven't had mosquitoes in quite a time? Or do you think they'd be interested in trying to determine why the bird died? It seemed completely healthy.
Yeah. Scott, what do you think?
Well, Rod, if you're concerned about it, I think you could probably get it checked out. Blue jays are one of the birds that are susceptible or affected by West Nile. It is late in the season, but as birds are involved in some of these diseases, and they get stressed as we go through the winter. It's cold, it's snowy, food's hard to find. Then that might have expressed itself. But you just never know with a dead representative of the wildlife community. There's so many things that affect these animals, from maybe it hit your window, bird strike, and injured itself, but got far enough away before it collapsed. There's just no way of telling. But for your peace of mind or curiosity, I assume you still have the specimen. Yeah. If you haven't picked it up, put a plastic bag on your hand and then pick it up and then turn the bag inside out so that you don't touch the bird, and then double bag it and label it as to where it came from and when, how it was collected. And then give a call to either maybe the easiest way is to go through your local DNR, whatever the nearest DNR office is, and they can put you in touch with their wildlife health people, and it will either end up with them or the National Wildlife Health Laboratory on the west side of Madison. I don't know if the State Lab of Hygiene is still dealing with this kind of thing or not, but start out with your local DNR office or your vet, or the general office for the DNR in Madison, and try and get through to the wildlife health people. And then with one of those contacts, you should get a course of action to get it checked out.
And Rod, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Bill in Oregon a chance to join in. Bill, hello.
Hi, Larry. Scott.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I wanted to ask about a prairie chicken lecking. And I know that there's some blinds set up by UW Stevens Point. I was just curious if you knew of any other opportunities to view the prairie chicken lek. It'll be coming up in the spring.
Probably not in Wisconsin. We have a remnant population in a couple of spots, but the best known, the longest studied, and the most accessible to the public are the blinds at Buena Vista that are handled through UW Stevens Point. So if you, it's not going to happen for a little while yet, the way the winter is going, but I think there's still quite a bit of demand for getting a reservation to go into those blinds and see the birds in action. So I would make a call up there to the School of Natural Resources at Point and see what you can find out and try and make a reservation. It's a pretty neat thing to see.
Yeah, it is indeed. And it's not too early to call and see if you can get a reservation, Bill, because Scott's right. There's a high demand for those opportunities, for sure. Thanks for calling. Sally in Madison, it's your turn.
Hi. We have what appears to be a squirrel family living in the second story of our old garage, which also has an old chimney that wasn't completely closed off. And I don't know why there'd be a family there at this point in the year, but because they're territorial, I know we should hire somebody to get rid of them, but is it likely they'll come back or something?
Well, there are a couple of considerations, Sally. Even though you're surprised by the presence of the family you describe, it is March, and usually first litters of gray squirrels, they have a couple, one usually in very early spring, like March, and another one in midsummer. So it's possible you already have an early litter in there, and if that's the case, if they're not causing any immediate commotion, especially out in a garage, my advice would be to leave them alone for a while until those young become developed enough to leave the den site on their own, and then you can either figure out what their access points are and close those with a one-way device, and there are commercial ones available I can tell you about in a moment, so that the animals go out on their own and can't get back in. And then after that has been in use for a week or so, you can go ahead and make permanent repairs to keep them out. But if it's a favorable den site, yes, they may come back there repeatedly. You can have a professional animal control service come and deal with it, but again, I'd let the little ones get out on their own before you do that. Because I don't know where they would relocate them to. And as far as the device I was talking about, the Tomahawk Live Trap Company makes a device called a squirrel excluder. It essentially looks a little bit like a long, narrow trap, but it's got a spring-loaded door in it. They're made of wire and some wings that fold out, and you can just staple or tack those over a hole or opening that the squirrels are using. And they push their way out under the spring-loaded door, and then it closes behind them, and they can't get back in. So it's a humane and effective way to get them out of an area and then eventually make it permanent by closing up the hole once you're sure they're all out. So that would be my my advice in a nutshell, is to give them a chance to get that litter out on its own and then deal with sealing things up.
Thank you, Sally. Appreciate it. Steve emailed that he saw a flock of robins Monday morning at Hudson Park in Madison. There were an unusual amount of cardinals, too. Have you seen or heard about others back in the state?
Well, everybody seems to be reporting lots of cardinals. I've had lots of cardinals at the feeders this winter, and that's been a pretty common story. As far as the robins are concerned, they might be spring migrants, but it's still a little early for that. We do have some flocks of robins that winter over in Wisconsin, especially near sources of open water like the Springs and the Arboretum in Madison, and there are a couple of other communities around La Crosse and other places in the state that are known for having flocks of robins all winter long. So yeah, while I'd like to think that spring is going to start tomorrow at noon, I'm a little less optimistic, although I should say that an hour or two ago here at McGraw, just outside Chicago, there was a great blue heron standing out here along the stream that runs through the property. So that's a good sign. And Larry, you'll appreciate, because I know you have a lime tree at home.
Yeah.
I don't know about yours, but my lime tree is in full bloom in the house, and I'm looking forward to a large lime harvest at some point in the future. So spring and spring-like activities can't be that far away.
They can't be that far away. And as a matter of fact, I know a bunch of snowbirds who reside in Florida and Arizona who will be wending their way back to Madison and Wisconsin, all over Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, as well. Scott Graven, our guest, Larry Mealer here, and Cheryl Gasser joins us. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations, and we count on you to help keep these talks on the air.
And listener support is the single largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the other shows you enjoy possible. And that's why it's your gift right now at WPR.org, or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
We had a dollar-for-dollar match of up to $4,000 in effect, and by golly, we have passed that.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called in during this break. It's 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Stan and Shirley Inhorn, who doubled your money for those
it's
of
amazing.
You.
Amazing.
But you know what? We still have
let's
a
go
ways
for five
go.
More, Larry. Five
go.
More in the next 5 minutes. Five
more
five pledges.
More?
I think we can make that happen with your support. You know, the Ideas Network, here we are listener supported. And that means that when you give, you make this hour on wildlife and many more possible. I was looking at your schedule for next week, Larry. The history of supper clubs, home improvement, more on Wisconsin wildlife, garden talk, and that's just in 1 week. You can make this show possible with your pledge of any amount. You are part of the WPR community. So make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I want to talk about sustaining membership as well. It's a great way to support WPR to become a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you make a monthly donation right from your bank account or from your credit card.
You know, Larry, many people give 10 or 20 bucks a month. Choose whatever amount is right for you, though. Become a sustainer now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my companion. It provides an important outlet that is balanced, provides content and insights from a range of perspectives. We pay for other media, newspapers, television, so there's no reason why we shouldn't invest in something that we get so much value from. I'm Terry from Madison, Wisconsin, and as a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle, I enjoy supporting this important cultural resource that benefits so many people throughout Wisconsin.
Members of the 9XM Leadership Circle give annual gifts of $1,200 or more. Join this group of leadership donors. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support, the single biggest source of funding for our programs.
We couldn't do it without them, Larry. Now, you might be wondering as you're listening to Larry talk, how much should I give? Well, that is up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And when you do, you play an essential part in funding our programs.
And, you know, you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride and enjoy some lovely music when you ask for the 2019 WPR T-shirt. Larry, it's USA made. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. And it shows how WPR is everywhere that you are, whether you're in town, at home, in the great outdoors. It's $10 a month or more. You can see the T-shirt, and you should, because it's so cool. You'll want one at WPR. WPR.org when you make that pledge, or call 888-202-2552 and ask for your T-shirt.
I might wear that T-shirt when I'm at Bayfield in Bloom this May.
I want you to do that, Larry.
That should be it. What about you? If you're going to Bayfield in Bloom, or even if you're not, it'd be great if you would contribute $10 a month at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're happy to send one along to you. And I tell you what, Scott Craven's going to be with us coming up after this look at the news, so you stay with us. Taking a look at the world of wildlife today with Scott Craven. Thanks for joining in today. Always great to talk with Scott, and we've got a variety of things to talk with him about. And I know Chris and Adams, we'll get to you in just a minute, Chris, so I hope you can hang on. I wanted to bring up the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame. It's a wonderful organization, and next month I'm really pleased to let you know that Scott Craven is going to be inducted into the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame. Scott, congratulations. Maybe you could talk a little about the organization.
Well, Larry, thank you for the congratulations, and thank you too for your program's role played in the nomination. I've always felt that when people ask me about my career, that probably the best single thing I ever did was get involved in the radio work with you and some other folks at Wisconsin Public Radio many years ago, because that's done such a wonderful job of kind of getting my name out in the state and developing some credibility for the wildlife programming we do. So thank you for both of those things. And as far as the Conservation Hall of Fame is concerned, it's been around since 1985. Their stated purpose is to promote the development of a conservation ethic in Wisconsin through a variety of means. Over the years, they've been operational. The Hall of Fame now has essentially a roster of about 100 leaders who've made significant contributions in their mind to conservation in Wisconsin. The Hall of Fame is housed in the Schmeekly Reserve Visitor Center in Stevens Point, and there's a really nice gallery displaying recognition plaques of the inductees and a meeting classroom space that's used by lots of conservation organizations for meetings, and it's embedded in a bit of a nature center display. It's a really neat place to stop by when you're going by Stevens Point to see what it's like. Over the years, and this is what I'm pretty happy about, I feel as though I'm joining a group of some really impressive people. I'd look back at the list, and John Muir is in the Hall of Fame, Sigurd Olsen,
Aldo Leopold,
Fred and Fran Hammerstrom, Owen Grammy, Nina Leopold Bradley, Buzz Bazadny, who was a very popular secretary of the DNR, George Archibald, who founded the Crane Foundation, George Meyer, who was another DNR secretary, still very active in the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and my mentors at the university, Bob Ellerson, Joe Hickey, and Bob McCabe, and it's just a really neat, it's neat to be part of that group, and I appreciate all the people who have made that possible over the years. The other two inductees, by the way, this time around will be Don Johnson, a former very popular outdoor writer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Aroline Schmidt, who is a forestry advocate in northern Wisconsin. So the induction ceremony will take place on Saturday, April 13th at Century World, just across the road from the Schmeichle Reserve in the Century grounds. There'll be a variety of, there's a reception, there's a luncheon, there's a dinner. There are some things that are fee-based and some not, but the actual ceremony is certainly open to the public, and if folks are interested in that, I think they can derive the necessary information or details from the Hall of Fame Foundation's website. So
yeah, it's going to be.
Thanks for your thanks and thanks for your help.
Well, I tell you what, it's well deserved, Scott, and I was happy to help in any way I could. It's a wonderful honor for you, and certainly, I'm hoping to be there as well to see it all happen. So, with that, we'll move right back into our normal conversation with callers. Chris in Adams has something for us. And, Chris, thanks so much for waiting.
That's okay. Good afternoon. I have two things, actually. The first is that, as everyone will recall vividly, we had a major snowstorm on the 18th of April, 19th of April last year, and the songbirds got caught in the lurch. And I would like to recommend to everybody that they go out and buy mealworms now, because they're going to be, if that happens again, they're going to be sold out. If you buy them now, the retailers will have an opportunity to restock their shelves so that the people that forgot to buy mealworms will have them, put them someplace where the rodents can't get into them, and save them for that. You can stick them in your freezer if nothing else. Okay, the second thing is that I would like Mr. Craven to talk about the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone and how that has completely transformed the ecosystem there. And for that, anybody who hasn't seen it, there's a really good film about this that's very touching.
It is indeed a touching film. Scott, a comment.
Well, the wolf introduction is a big deal out there. It's on everyone's mind in the park. I stopped and talked with the fellow who's a graduate of our department in Madison, who now heads up resource management for the park, and he's been on the hot seat with the wolf reintroduction. As you know, it was very contentious. Folks in the immediate area of the park, in the surrounding states and the states in which the park is embedded, had a somewhat, I would call it, a difference of opinion with general public sentiment around the country. But everybody who's listening to the program needs to remember that Yellowstone is a national park, our first national park, and a big one, and a beautiful one. And we all have a stake in its perpetuation and sound management. So when the general public around the country came out strongly in favor of wolf reintroduction, despite local opposition, that's another whole story, the park really had no choice but to proceed with that. Wolves were reintroduced, and they flourished. It was a target-rich environment as far as the wolves were concerned, particularly with the elk herds. And that whole situation has been studied very closely, and there are lots of ecological interactions. For example, as the wolves were able to drive the elk back from some of the thermal features in the river systems they lived along, the theory was that that would free up the willows that had been largely destroyed by overbrowsing from elk, which would then in turn allow the beaver to restore themselves, because they fed on the willows, as did the moose that used the willows. It also took some pressure off aspen, which is, again, coming back in the park. So there were lots of interactions. But as far as the most immediate one, the wolves and what they ate, it varied across the park. There was a fairly small herd of 500 to maybe 600 or 700 elk north of Old Faithful and on the road leading in from West Yellowstone along the Firehole River. It was very visible, and you know, these animals were right along the road where people could see them. The wolves eliminated that herd completely. There are now no elk in that area, and that was through wolf predation. But it was largely because those elk lived in thermal areas that were pretty small in area, and once the wolves moved in, the elk had no place to go. If they ran into deep snow, they were very vulnerable, and over a relatively short period of time, that herd was taken out. On the northern range, the main elk herd in the park, which numbered or got up to about 20,000 animals, that's now been reduced down to about 5,000. And again, there are ecological consequences of that, too. That wasn't all due to elk predation. Those animals, when they move out of the park, are hunted heavily as well. So there was a mixed bag there. But there are herds outside the park, herds of elk, where they seem to coexist with the wolves, and both populations remain kind of stable. So it's been an interesting ecological enterprise. Wolf numbers have started to drop in the park, too, as the elk began to disappear. And as wolves leave the park, then there are problems there because they are, depending on the status in the state in question, whether it's Montana, Wyoming, or whatnot, they may be subject to harvest outside the park. So it's a long story. There have been books and articles and all sorts of things written about it. Remember, it's our park. If you're interested in it, go see it. Pick up some of those books and read about it. I think you'll find it to be an interesting story.
And that video on the impact of the wolves on Yellowstone is really pretty cool. I think you can find that on YouTube as well. It's really cool. Well, the winter, I mean, you know, the winter has had, as you pointed out, an impact in Yellowstone. And the impact here, what do you think it's going to be here for our wildlife?
Well, there are lots of folks concerned about what's going to happen. As you pointed out earlier, the trouble time is still ahead of us. The animals went into winter in pretty good shape, and up until mid-January, hey, winter looked like it was going to be a piece of cake. And then the hammer dropped, or the other shoe dropped, whatever you want to call it, and we've ended up now with what's on its way to becoming at the very least a moderate winter, if not severe, as measured by the winter severity index that the DNR has maintained for a long time, which scores a point for a day below zero and another point for a day with 18 inches or more of snow on the ground. And if both conditions exist, 2 points. And as you start to get up into the moderate range, which we're already in, or into the severe range, years of information suggests that, for example, a certain percentage of the deer herd is likely to perish with different categories of winter severity. So people are paying close attention to it now. There's already talk that it could lead to some further restriction on deer harvest if we lose a lot of deer to winter weather. We'll have to wait and see. But I think it's equally problematic for the turkeys, especially because of both deep snow and in the southern part of the state, layers of ice that came with these rain events between snows. So tough for those birds to get through that ice. And certainly things like pheasants and what quail might be left and other species are having a tough go of it.
Scott, someone else wondered about lessons that we could take from Yellowstone Park and apply to Wisconsin parks. Anything, any thoughts along those lines? That might require some deep thought.
That might require a little thought, but it's such a different system, Larry. I mean, one of the reasons Yellowstone was designated as a park back in 1872 was that it was unique in the country, especially because of the geothermal features. You know, 50% of all of the geysers and hot springs and hot pools and assorted other features in the world are in Yellowstone, half of them. So that provides habitats in the park that are not present in Wisconsin or anywhere else. Coupled with the fact that its huge size and protected status allow animals that move a lot to exist within the park and potentially never leave the boundaries, is also different from the size scale of Wisconsin parks. And, of course, there are very different species in the form of grizzly bears and bison and things that we just don't have here. But I guess if there was a lesson for anything, for me, it's the value and importance of those parks to be protected as public land that anybody can go to or visit and enjoy the solitude, the scenery, the wildlife, or whatever else, whenever they feel like it. And it's no different in our state parks or some of our national wildlife refuges and so forth in Wisconsin. So they need to be managed. They need money for operation. They need to be cared for and respected when you're in the parks. You can't be throwing things in thermal features or littering the roadside or whatever else. Show them some respect, and hopefully they'll always be there for us.
Yeah, hopefully they will always be there. Scott Craven, our guest today. Wildlife ecologist, emeritus professor in the Department of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and soon to be inducted into the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame. That happens in April. It's really a great honor for Scott, and I'm so glad that he's receiving it. And I'm so happy that Cheryl Gasser just came walking into the studio. She is here to help me talk with you about our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. As a listener, you know you always are going to hear something interesting when you tune in. And I really want to thank you for your support over time. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for the Ideas Network programs. And when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program, Conversations with Scott Craven and others, and everything else you hear on the network possible.
And Larry, we heard from an incredible 43 members last hour. 43
wow.
members, including 30 brand new members. So thank you. Welcome. Thanks for your additional gift. Thanks to everyone who gave. And now, our goal for the last half hour of this show is 10 people. 10 people we want to join as members.
And I tell you what, we are listener powered, aren't we? I think we're a listener.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we are. And that means that these goals are important. Well, we met our last goal, and now here we have another one, a goal of 10, and we already have three people joining in. But the goals help us keep on track to fund the programs that you count on. So do your part right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, you just enjoyed a great discussion with Scott Craven on Wisconsin Wildlife, and he'll be back in every other month he joins us. Some of our
May 1st, he's back.
May 1. There we go. Marking my calendar. And some of our other regular guests on this show, we talked to Peter Green, who helps us with our computers, and we all need that help. PJ Leash, who answers our endless questions about insects, the fascinating world of insects. And, of course, Melinda Myers, one of our great Garden Talk guests.
So you get great information you can use from these guests and so many others on the program. It's a real pleasure to have them on, and it's your contributions that make it possible. So give right now at WPR.org. Or go ahead and phone 888-202-2552.
Looking for 7 more members by the bottom of the hour, by 12:30. And this membership drive, another great reason to give. We have this exciting drawing, Larry, for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win.
You and I can't win,
but we can imagine what we'd spend it on. Maybe cheese, exotic fruit, I don't know, beer. Now, no contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org if you'd like to enter that way, but better yet, be automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount whatsoever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, of course, Larry, we should remember to tell everybody that they're automatically entered.
And Kathleen from Madison made a contribution, and she said, listening to WPR is a life-enriching experience.
The
listener can always trust WPR for well-planned, balanced, and accurate programming. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you have a strong sense of what it means to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio and to be a Wisconsinite. Chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense mm-hmm. of identity. We serve the entire state.
We do. And here on Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news and voices, music, conversation, sounds from around the state. And over time, all of these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state that we all call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share. It's funded in large part by listeners, and we are stuck on seven more calls that we need to make our goal for this half hour. So I hope you'll, if you haven't done so, do it right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Now, a big thank you, of course, to everyone who's contributed so far this hour. WPR is listener-supported, and that means that it's memberships from folks like you who keep WPR the strong and reliable and trusted station that everyone can depend on. So you decide the amount, maybe 10 or 20 bucks a month, and then give WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won. Art, that was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB, that hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And let me repeat that. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Cheryl Gasser, and I don't even want to talk about the ways I've spent my money foolishly inaccurately. But you know what? There's one time when I've spent money that I have never regretted it, and that's when I've contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio to support. The programs that we have here means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you. And your gift, it could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
It is absolutely the right amount, and it's the right thing to do. You'll feel great moving from being a listener to a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we've got about 4 minutes left in the show, Larry. We're looking for seven more pledges. Lucky number seven, I'm going to think. And if you've already given, of course, we want to thank you.
And if you haven't, boy, this is really the time to do it. We're getting right down to the end of the program here. We still have seven more to go. So help us out. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
We couldn't do it without you. Now, when you listen to the Ideas Network, you make your community a better place because you're an engaged and informed citizen. And when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're doubling the good you do.
That's because the Ideas Network is listener-funded, and that means that your financial support is what makes this incredible service available to you and the entire state. So do something amazing right now. Help the Ideas Network make it possible to provide the programs that you've come to enjoy. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Do it and do it now. The time is short. Now, as a donor, you get to decide how much to give. We're not going to tell you how much. Maybe $1 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner, maybe doing some things with friends. Those are things you enjoy and make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide the amount that is right for you, and then you make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And not only are you pledging for the great programming, of course, but we have this beautiful new T-shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. It shows how WPR is everywhere that you are around the state, whether that's at home, in the great outdoors, or in town. Show off your WPR pride and ask for your T-shirt, $10 a month or more, at WPR.org. You can see the shirt there as well, or call 888-202-2552.
And thanks so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, this is really the time to do it in this last minute or two. Go to WPR.org or phone 888 888- 202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller, and you, my friends, are listening to the Ideas Network.